Cheers!
Cheers!
Welcome to A Bit Drunk. This is the BitPub's audio podcast in which we discuss anything and everything relating to console video gaming. And whilst doing so, we are imbibing a few too many fine craft beers and spirits. My name...
That's a spirit noise.
My name is Ian Greer. And I got a few other people drinking and passing the time with me tonight. The first, just a city boy, born and raised in South Detroit, James Lambert.
Hi.
Hi, James.
There he is, right there.
And then the other one, who I almost mistakenly introduced as James, is he's just a small-town girl living in a lonely world, Danny Gwynn.
It's true. It's absolutely true. It's very lonely.
Yeah. We've got a big, big topic for you tonight, and Danny Gwynn's going to tell you a little bit about it.
So we're talking about some of the bigger gaming experiences out there with open world gaming. What's good about them? What's bad about them? Do we like them? Of course we do. You do too. And we're going to get into why that is the case as we get into A Bit Drunk.
What are we drinking tonight? We got a lot of stuff.
Oh, Ian, I think you supplied all of the beer tonight.
That's what? All of it?
You supplied all of it.
All of it. I surprised.
I brought burritos.
Oh, yeah.
For you.
We talked about these burritos last time.
Yeah, so I brought the same burritos.
Oh, my God.
For these guys. They fucking jerked off. Drank some pretty good beer that Ian brought.
Taqueria El Corral, if you live in the San Francisco South Bay, go there.
It's great.
Do that right now. We're not even getting paid for this. I'm just telling you to
go
to that fucking place.
Like, I'm not even going to suggest that we ask for sponsorship or anything from them.
No, we never, like, we will never probably like do anything like that.
At most, if they wanted to toss us a free burrito every now and
then. I would still pay for it.
I would still give them money because it's great.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
I think I'm going to go there tomorrow.
So good.
I'm just going to give them money and not take any burritos.
Yeah. I'm just,
that seems unlikely.
I'm just going to hug and kiss them.
Those girls are pretty cute.
Yeah, there's a lot of cute girls.
I didn't go inside this time.
I'd pee in their butts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah?
They'll have the very careful, cute Spanish accent. Do you want some salsa?
It's Spanish.
Oh.
It's a salsa? Yeah. I do.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I mean, see?
Ian's worse than you with your shitty pickup lines.
Hey, my pickup lines are top notch. Nothing but gold there.
Yeah? Are you just always be closing with those or what?
Rarely.
Yeah.
I'm like 0.5%.
Yeah, all right.
Nice.
That's a pretty good rate.
I mean, there's a lot of, like, 0.5% of almost 7 billion people on the planet.
Like, getting laid a lot.
That's like 1 in 200, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly 1 in 200.
So, yeah, story checks out.
I math that shit.
Very good change.
Math the hell out of that shit. I brought all the beers. So
why don't you talk about all the beers?
Well, we've only drank two types.
That's true. So why don't we just talk about the two that we've consumed?
Yeah, we'll talk about the two. So first and foremost, I brought the winter wheat. I brought winter wheat beer from this is from Anchor Steam in San Francisco. If you think they just do Anchor Steam ale, you are fucking wrong, you dumbass piece of shit.
James is turtling.
I thought I sneezed.
I thought you were just sneezed.
I'm done with this podcast.
I'm just crawling inside my jacket.
James understands the permanence of objects. Anchor Brewing in San Francisco has done a winter wheat this past year. I don't know if they did it last year. They had their Christmas brew, which they've been
doing.
That's
true.
They did it again, which is great. But this year I picked up their winter wheat. I went to a Christmas party last week and had to bring the obligatory booze with me. I was like, hey, this is a seasonal thing. I'll bring it. And, we were drinking a lot that night and people kept coming over to me like, you brought this? This is fucking awesome. So
high fives all around.
Yeah. High fives all around. I really like it. I think a lot of times people like will reach for like stouts and porters in the winter. Not a bad thing to do, but stouts and porters also are very heavy. I feel like they're almost like a meal when you, because I love them, but it's like there's been times I've been out to eat and I order, instead of a dessert, I'll get a porter or a stout. It's like, oh, they got the special one on tap. Oh, turtle, there he goes.
Turtle James. Hot.
Yeah, but I'll order the a stout or a porter for dessert because it's like, oh, it's just like that's its own meal course on its own.
Jesus fucking Christ, James.
I'm sorry. I just got a lot of mucus.
Here we go. Wow, we need to get one in the microphone.
Keep going.
All right, still going.
This is great podcast material.
Yeah, right? Sneezing and beer all together.
Goes together.
What'd you guys say? You guys had... James, you had the winter wheat. Did you have any of the winter wheat?
I've been on this other one. We'll talk about in a minute.
Hey. I had the winter wheat. It was really good.
Get it all out before you have to start sneezing again.
I had zero. But no, it's nice. It's a wheat beer, so it is hefty.
Jeez, fucking Jesus.
I love this. This is great.
James is dying.
It hurts so bad.
We're gonna just keep going.
Oh, yeah, James did like an ab workout 2 days ago, and now...
Trying to get ripped for the beach.
Yeah.
How's that working out for you?
Not very well.
All right, then. It's hard to get ripped when you're eating burritos and drinking beer all the time.
We're
going to
let this go silent because I can see... There we go. That one was a lot closer to the mic, which makes me happy.
Yeah, he's getting there.
Oh, yeah, there's a waveform.
Oh, yeah,
there
we're go. Peeking on that one.
Just a little peeking out a little bit there.
Now that tastes...
disgusting.
Salty.
Gross.
A Bit Drunk is brought to you by Winter.
It's the wheat. It's the wheat ale.
It clogs my sinuses right up.
It's like winter in California, so...
Yeah. It got to 65 today.
Holy balls.
I had to put a light jacket on.
That was the high. That was not the low. That was the high. It actually got to 38 the other night out here, which was like, hey, some actual weather. It's raining right now, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good thing for us because we don't have a lot of water right now.
Yeah.
But
El Nino.
I am El Nino. Be out there. So Anchor Brewing Winter Wheat. It's nice because it's hefty because it's a wheat beer.
Hefty.
Makes me sneeze.
Makes James sneeze. And it's
just
delicious.
Just a little bit of that salsa there, James.
Just like right up the nostril.
Just a little.
Onesie twosie.
A little dab
like
will do
some
you.
Snuff.
And you brought this other one.
For fans of freedom.
Yeah, for fans of freedom. So
kicking
Nazi
ass.
Yeah. For 21st Amendment Brewery, we have their seasonal fireside chat. And as you know, if you've listened to other episodes of this podcast, we're a big fan of 21st Amendment because they do a lot of great stuff.
Everything they do is fucking awesome.
Yeah,
they do
it and for you. A lot of what they do is IPA, and you're not a big fan of them, but you tend to like their IPAs.
I don't like the category of beer described as IPAs, but
right.
Everything that's come out of 21st Amendment,
yeah.
I have really liked.
We had a lot of their Hell or High Watermelon in the summer, which is a great summer beer.
That has become a favorite of every gathering that I have brought it to.
Yeah. That's an awesome one. And for winter, they've started doing Fireside Chat, which is what we're drinking tonight. It's their Spiced Winter Ale, which is their literally their standard ale recipe, the one that their favorite ale recipe they have keeping around, and then adding additional, like, actually spicing it, like adding spices on top of it for the brewing process. It's awesome. It has a wonderful cartoon picture of FDR in the front, and I'm a huge FDR history nerd and buff, both the good and the bad from there. Everybody go watch the Bill Murray FDR movie because it's fantastic. Fireside Chat, yeah, you've been... Dan, you want to comment on this? Because you've been...
Yeah, this is pretty much... This is all I've been drinking tonight. Yeah. It's great. It's got a little bit of a strong finish.
Yeah.
It's very, like everything else from 21st Amendment, it's very pleasant.
Yeah.
The flavor's good. These guys are on point, as the kids say, with their flavors.
They YOLO.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
They're going hard in the paint. That's what the kids are saying.
Is that a thing that people say?
Yeah, going hard in the paint.
Going hard in the paint.
Yep.
What in the fuck does that mean?
No idea.
Oh.
But that's what this beer is.
I believe it is a basketball.
So I got hard and I painted as apparently a descriptor about this beer.
We all watched. We saw.
I know.
But yeah. You said it like it finishes well. Like I think after I giggled, I was like, no, that's very true. Because a lot of ales, it's like it's the strong up front and then just
yeah.
But the spices, it's the spiced ale.
Yeah, really kind of the flavor travels across your tongue, kind of hits you in the back of the tongue.
Traverses the palate.
For the finish of the flavor. But it's good. It's very smooth.
Are there any more in there?
There might be one more.
There's one more.
I'm good.
I'm going to take it.
You done?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm drinking this right now. Because we keep talking about it, and I want another one.
Yeah, it's fucking good.
Delicious.
Anyway, yep, that's what I have to say about that.
All right.
Beer's a good one.
What's everybody playing? We're talking about what we're drinking.
Yeah. So I've been hanging out. I'm a little congested though. But I've been playing this game. off of PSN called The Wolf Among Us.
Okay. Oh shit. Yeah. I didn't know you were playing that.
Yeah, it's kind of like this. It's based on a series of comic books that DC came out with a while ago. But you play as a big bad wolf, like the one that blew the pigs' homes down.
He huffed and he puffed and then he blew their house down.
Also called Bigby. And so it's this group of fairy tale characters that live in the real world, our world, but they're in hiding because they can't let their true identities out. And he's like the cop, the investigator, the sheriff of this community, and shit's going down. Somebody dies that's a member of this community, and it's his job to figure out who killed this person.
Who done it?
Yeah. It's very not an open world game, but it's linear. It gives you choices, and you have to get information out of people based on the questions that you ask them. So it gives you a choice, like ask this, shrug, don't say anything, whatever.
So it's like LA Noir, but with fairy tale characters.
And then the look of it is very much like a comic book, like hard black lines, cartoony, but very mature and very adult themes. Mm. Like you see a severed head at one point of a character that you were talking to a while ago.
Nice.
So really cool, dark, has like fairy tale stuff. So pretty fun.
That's cool. Oh, me.
What you doing?
My twin. As I will discuss later on, I've got a lot of big shit going on. So I've been playing Metal Gear Solid 5 and Xenoblade Chronicles X.
So what happens when you eat two burritos?
A huge shit going on.
Oh, man. But it's going to be so satisfying, though, when that happens.
Yeah.
Dude, when you just have, like, a giganto shit following a double burrito
situation.
Yeah, there's, like, it's just happiness going in situation. There. A little bit of, ooh, while it's, like, stewing. And then, like, relief. Like, it almost feels like you walk away from it. It's like, I feel like I've been working out
I've been
for the
changed.
Past 45
like
minutes.
Like, your pants
my pants look better. I look better, I look better in tight shirts. Yeah, fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
is that Scottish Kung Fu?
That's like
fuck you,
fuck you. It's a lot of
Scottish Kung Fu. That's just
a lot of headbutting and kicking.
People.
Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a lot of headbutting and kicking when they're on the ground.
Yep. Italians big into that one too.
Yeah.
Except another guy's holding him down while you're kicking him.
I don't know what's going on over here. Punch, punch. I also stole that quote from "Sorry, I Married an Axe Murderer."
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5 and Xenoblade Chronicles X have been absorbing a shit ton of my time. Both are fan-fucking-tastic games. Of both in the open world thing, but almost of two different
styles.
Genres. Yeah, I guess it's kind of like one's open maybe? World RPG and the other one's like open world action espionage stealth game.
I mean, Metal Gear Solid, I feel, is kind of its own genre.
Yeah, it is. It kind of does
stealth, weird genetics.
Yeah.
Some kind of mech thing.
It's
maybe.
Like a quasi sci-fi, quasi adventure.
Yeah.
Sort of kind of RPG, maybe not really.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a fucking Metal Gear Solid game. Like,
yeah.
If you played one, you know what it's like.
They're both fantastic. And I think I was telling Danny, and then earlier today at work, because work effectively stopped for everybody around 2:30. So I just started.
This being the Friday before the Christmas.
Friday before our holiday shutdown. We officially for work shut, like our last day is the 23rd, but nobody wants to do anything past today because that could set things up for failure and make it like make us have to work over the holiday break.
Yeah, fuck that.
So it's a very like tightrope that everybody's walking of like don't only do it if you have to, but don't do it otherwise. So around 2:30, I just started drinking. I was gifted some scotch for some work I did this past year as a thank you from a friend. So I just started drinking that and playing R-Type Final on PlayStation 2 because I got a PS2 sitting in my office that I rebuilt. And it was awesome. I've been trying to get myself into the shoot 'em up series a bit more. Shoot 'em up or shmup, as some of the kids call it. And
until
R-Type
you said that before the podcast. The kids. I never heard that.
Yeah,
before.
It's
no kids.
Yeah, no, none of the kids say it. It's just all old people. Well, what's really weird is when you get into that genre. Some people insist that you call it shoot 'em up, and other people say like, "No, just call it a shmup." And so there's this divide of who pronounces it what way. But I guess if it's your passion, you think you're about whatever. But at any rate, this was the R-Type series was came with very high accolades. And I was at a thrift store and I saw R-Type Final for PlayStation 2 sitting there. It was like $1. I was like, what the fuck? I'll buy it. It goes complete, like inbox and everything. Like, cool. Like, I hear R-Type's great. And apparently R-Type Final, everybody talks about it. Like, that was an excellent, excellent game and a great conclusion to the series. So I started playing it. I learned first that I'm absolute rubbish at shoot 'em ups, shmups. But nevertheless, I had fun. Like, the game was just really, like, the controls were really sensitive and well designed.
What kind, when you say shoot 'em up, I feel like there's certainly several games.
When
that
you say shmup.
When you say shmup.
Please, so please also think don't
about,
say shmup.
Think about maybe your classic, either horizontal or vertical looking down. You have a spaceship or a fighter or a craft of some sort.
Got it.
And you have and you are shooting up a bunch of enemies at once. And sometimes, and there's a lot of stuff that can go with it. Like, you can get little things called options that, like, it might be like something that satellites you and shoots things, or you can get shields or whatever. And there's other types too. There's some that are called bullet hell shooters where there's just shit flying all across the screen, and you have to, like, part of the game is you are dodging just that massive amount of hell as well as shooting things to take them out. This is a more classic. Multiple enemies appear on screen, and you're shooting them, but also dodging what they're like
their projectiles.
Yeah, their projectiles, right. And stuff.
Right.
It's not filling the screen necessarily. So far, I've been in the first few stages, and like the bosses that they had are really, really creative, like very, very creative. Like, it might take up a huge portion of the screen, so you have to figure out like how to fly around it, but also plan out the options and other things you can get. So that way, like, it might be, because you're always facing, quote unquote, forward, mm-hmm. and shooting forward, but it might be behind you. So if you had to plan out properly to get the little upgrades and options that can shoot behind you, and fire missiles and stuff like that, like all the other crap. So it was like, it's already like, it's not a thing you go into and you just hold a button and move around. There's still like, oh no, I can get this and then I can move this.
There's more strategy to it.
There's a lot more strategy involved in it. And it's like, oh, I can see why people really like this genre. I can see how people are really into this. So, I was playing that a lot this afternoon and got really, really engrossed into it. So I think I'm going to start exploring that even a little bit more. I apparently have the king of consoles for the shoot 'em up of the TurboGrafx-16, so I've got one of those.
Oh yeah,
sitting around that I just got to get a power supply for. So I think that'll be the next thing that I grab and start grabbing like blazing lasers and shit like that for it, which are supposed to be awesome. But anyway,
Just real quick on that note, if you don't already have it, and you may because you've been a PS Plus member for a while.
I have. Yeah.
Rezogun.
Oh, Rezogun's awesome.
Great game.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Even if you're not a PS Plus member, go buy that game. Resogun is awesome.
That is a fun shoot 'em up. It's an interesting like side scroller shoot 'em up.
That game is so good that when PS4 first came out and some of the launch titles were on their way, people were kind of clinging to that as like, buy PS4 for this game alone because it's great.
I don't know if I would buy a PS4 just for Resogun, but if you have one,
yeah.
I think it's absolutely worth the money.
Yeah. totally worth it.
It's definitely a good time killer. You will have fun with it.
Horizontal cylindrical shooter, yeah, which is its own little genre by itself. So.
A cylindrical shooter?
Yeah. So imagine that you're flying around this cylindrical shaped level.
On the outside of it?
On the outside of it. Okay. Like that's the track that you're going on. And you can see in the background enemies moving on the opposite side of the cylinder.
Okay.
And you're trying to rescue these little humans that... As you kill certain enemies or you pick up these little power-ups throughout the level, that frees these little humans that are in cages, and you have to go pick them up to rescue them before the bad guys kill them. Okay. And there's like 10 little humans that you have to rescue in every level.
10 little idiots?
Yes. And then you have
little
to...
Two little, three little idiots.
And then you have to kill a certain number of bad guys, survive the bad guys, and then kill the boss at the end of the level. It's super fun. You can customize your ship to be fast or powerful and somewhere on the scale in between those two.
Like cool?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's in the middle.
Yes, sure.
Fast, powerful, or cool. Pick one.
Anyway.
Choose wisely.
Just to ride Ian's coattails there.
No, definitely. Rezogun. I'm surprised I didn't even think about that. Rezogun is awesome.
It's a good game.
So what have you been playing personally?
So I, of course, have been continuing my play of Star Wars Battlefront. But there was a period in there where I couldn't really play for like 2 weeks. And I came back to it and found that I had immediately become very rusty. And everyone who had been playing the game had obviously continued playing the game, had gotten all the super powerful weapons, and was all leveled up. And everyone now just beats the shit out of me in this game. Like, I felt like before...
I have Fisher-Price armor and blaster.
Yeah. When I was playing before and I was able to kind of sort of hang with the kids, you know, I was playing like maybe a half hour to an hour every other night compared to like some kid who is now on his school's winter break.
Them kids fucked you
playing
over
now. All the, dude, so the realization I've come to is that I am no longer the kid who has all the free time to play the games and be the best at any given game. Now I'm the guy... who I was kicking the shit out of when I was the kid who would get super aggro at me for beating the hell out of him. I'm that guy now. So that has made me a little sad about Star Wars Battlefront. because I can't just go in and be as good as I want to be. Like I feel like
you don't have the time to invest in it.
Right. So now what I've been trying to do is I've been looking into the single player missions that they've included in the game, which are kind of like challenge mode. There are little like discoverables associated in there. Trophies on the PlayStation are attached to a bunch of the missions. Like do this particular mission. So there's missions where you fly in the X-Wing, right? And so it's like fly in this mission and shoot down X number of TIE fighters without ever firing a torpedo, like lasers only. That's an achievement in the game.
Damn.
And there's a bunch of little things like that. So I've been trying to like just trophy hunt a little bit with that game.
Yeah.
Also, this last month or the month of December, one of the PlayStation Plus free games was Gauntlet, the remake of Gauntlet. That. So I downloaded that and I started playing through that a little bit. It is a really challenging game.
Yeah.
Especially like it's another one of those things where you need to have like a particular skill set. You need to understand how the game works. You kind of need to have practice at the game in order to succeed at it, which of course, as previously mentioned, I don't really get to do. So I die a lot, which is frustrating. but I'm kind of figuring it out as I go. But the bonus of a single player game or a game where you are playing against the AI rather is that the AI stays consistent. The AI does not gain or lose skill. So I can kind of play it periodically and learn the game at my own pace.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that a little bit. And then lastly, after our previous podcast, there was a lot of discussion about how I fucking flaked on the last Fire Emblem game. And
Nobody's perfect.
That motivated me to blow the dust off of my 3DS and start playing Fire Emblem again. Which I was really happy I did, because I hadn't really gotten all that far previously in the game, and now I'm at the point where I'm doing
all... You can play for 20 hours and not get very far in those games.
Right. So now I've gotten a significant way into the game. I'm in like the low 20s for the chapters, where before I was still in single digits.
Are you playing classic or casual?
Casual. Because as I mentioned, definitely I suck a smart at games way now.
If you want so to go through, yeah.
I'm no longer good at video games because I don't have the time to invest in them.
Yeah.
So because my main interest is to experience the story and just to, like, have maybe a slightly more forgiving
game. Yeah, quick aside, like, the newer Fire Emblems have two modes. Classic meaning if a character dies in a battle, they are dead for the game.
They are permadead for
that. Anything that could happen surrounding them or any bit of story element that might be involved in them is verboten.
Fucking
gone. It's gone. Casual means if they die in a battle,
they come back.
Like, they're unconscious and they're revived. Yeah. They're injured and they come back afterwards.
Yeah, they're available the next mission.
Yeah.
So, because as previously discussed, I'm no longer good at video games, so I need to play on I need to put the little bumpers on my bowling lane so that I can bounce my ramp. Ball to the end.
Get the ramp out.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep.
So, but the game is very fun. I really like the story. I'm starting to understand the mechanic of this character and their relationship with this other character, and then you can get a kid out of that relationship.
That's from begging.
Because the dude wees in the girl.
Right. Yeah.
As James has explained to me.
That's how it happened.
We learned so much from James.
I know. He's really the wisest of us all.
Yeah.
Which is scary to think
about. Like the source. The quella.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Fire Emblem is cool, and it kind of, I feel like I'm kind of like psyching myself up for the next set of Fire Emblem games because
it's gonna be so awesome.
They look really good.
Yeah.
Oh. And I want to play them. But I feel like I almost I don't want to allow myself to play them without having at least played a significant portion of this Fire Emblem game. Because the story is good, and I don't want to miss out on the story.
Very good stories, they do.
So I feel like that's another advantage of me playing the casual version, is that I can kind of maybe recklessly stumble through a mission in like the half hour I have.
You can complete the game and the story, the main story.
Right.
Yeah.
And if that, and that being my goal, like, okay, fine. So I had to like let three characters die in this mission to complete it. But you know what? I saw what the next chapter was like, and I got that little piece of the story.
There's been so many missions where, because I play Classic, and there's been so many missions where it's like, I'm fine, and then, like, the very last person there just kills, like, just critical hits one of my characters, and they die. It's like, well, shit. Now I gotta start it over.
Ugh. Yep.
Fuck.
And that was one of the reasons why I stopped playing Fire Emblem before, because I'm like, I do not have time to play this one mission three times until I get it done. Like, that's not fun to me. I don't have time to do that anymore. So because my main goal, as I previously mentioned with this game, is just to experience the story. Now, if it turns out that I want to play the game again, then that's probably when I would pick up a classic version to like give myself the challenge of getting through the game that way.
Yeah.
So those are my main, those are the main games I've been playing.
Main squeezes right now.
Battlefront, a little bit of Gauntlet, and Fire Emblem.
Love it. All right, that's what we're playing. That's what we're drinking. We've been drinking a lot. So let's get into some drunk talk.
Drunk talk. Wait, are we recording this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Recording, so it's called now. Earthworming it.
Okay.
Okay.
When you take your food into the bathroom with you because you have to poop. But you don't want to stop eating. So you're just filling one hole while emptying the other hole. Earthworming.
I've heard a similar concept where you go to take a piss and then you chug a bottle of water or beer or whatever as you are pissing, and then you just you pee infinitely more. Because
I don't think it's infinite.
That's infinitely more. You never stop peeing, James. Like I'm still peeing.
It basically connects a wormhole to your urethra.
You create a singularity by drinking water while you pee.
Yes, exactly.
It's so Einstein. Compressed. Yeah.
And then somehow Matthew McConaughey's there, and there's corn.
He's pushing through the bookshelf.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to pick up high school girls. Yeah. It's the whole thing.
And then the singularity explodes, and you've made another universe, et cetera, et cetera.
Then you got to go get Anne Hathaway, because who wouldn't, right? Who
I know, right? Right?
I'd pee in her butt.
Oh, man.
That's all I'm saying.
Wait, I thought you hate... No, it was another friend that hated her.
Who hates Anne Hathaway?
Another friend.
She's got sweet tits.
Hey there, sweet tits.
Thank you.
Hey, sugar tits.
Why don't you come over here and sit on this?
How often does that work for you, James?
0% of
it. What is a very comfortable chair all the time? Why don't you come and sit on this? Oh, it's a very nice chair. I know, right?
I know.
That's why I purchased it. I purchased it. We're talking about purpose, right? In life, in what we're doing.
Oh, man. I hope James... Okay. As an aside... We've recently started doing the little sound clips before the podcast. Right.
I'm leaving this part in the recording because it's so meta.
No, that's fine. We could have the meta part. I think James' little giggle should be the thing before, so far. I think that's a good.
Yeah,
that's a good. Sound
it has to come organically, much like the episode title.
Yeah.
I always come organically.
I come mechanically. Yeah.
Mine is.
I have like a. There's like a winch.
I come sin.
Not a wench. There's a wench cranking
just like,
a winch.
It's just like a soap dispenser. You just pump the top.
It's done.
Does it foam when it comes out?
it's liquid those with the little beads in it.
It's like frog legs. Ah,
really?
That's bad for the environment, Dan.
Yeah.
No, like it's fine, guys.
No, it's not. Christ. Microbeads are killing.
That's why I come synthetically. mechanically.
On rayon instead of silk.
Is it biodegradable?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, like, this has been in a lab for a long time. Like, a Labrador has been
with
carrying this around. Yeah,
and a lab coat on.
That's the key there is peanut butter.
Yeah.
Oh.
Get you a Labrador and go down on that.
Mr. Peanut Butter. Everyone go watch BoJack Horseman.
Yeah, right it's now. A great show. You should
it's
watch it.
It's a great show.
Right now? Yeah, like right now. Bye, James. All right, so what is our topic again?
Tonight is the pros and cons of open world gaming. All not right. Pros as in poetry, and not cons as in the legacy of one Genghis.
Or someone who has committed a crime.
Correct.
And been convicted.
But the
Or James.
The benefits. Or James Caan.
Yeah.
Who's with us tonight.
Or that guy from Star Trek.
Or this game. Yeah.
We already said that. Genghis. Oh, yeah, that was Sunian Noon Sung.
Noonian Sung?
Noonian?
Sung Noon?
I don't know. Look it up, nerds.
I don't know Star Trek.
Not going to work here.
Nearly as well as I know Star Wars.
And there are four lights.
So I do. Really actually, I get that right.
Cardassians. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Fucking Cardassians.
Nobody lard wants asses. To fuck a Cardassian.
Bunch of lard asses.
I would, man. All those bony parts sticking out.
You got like those good. Fucking weird little things on their forehead.
Yep.
Put your dick in it.
Just, I wonder, like, who's the first person to experiment with that? Just
a
like,
Cardassian.
Yeah. A Cardassian. Not a Kardashian. A Cardassian.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Wait, but, we're not talking about those famous people from LA?
Yeah. Wait, we are?
Famous for no reason?
No, because they.
No, she fucked a black guy.
Yeah, and then they were on that space station.
And I tried it too, and I didn't get famous. Although I had a great time.
Well, as long as you enjoyed yourself, that's really the important part, I think.
But not famous. Not married to Kanye. Not bitter. Just a little misled.
We can't all do it. Especially not you.
Wow. Way to knock me down a peg.
I try as frequently as I can.
Knock me down to Winnipeg.
You got pegged already. I think we used that.
Yeah, that's also what happened with the black guy.
Yeah, in Winnipeg.
That's what got you into this mess.
Yeah, got pegged in Winnipeg. I also want a peg. Lady Peg. She's mine now.
Does that sound like what?
Pros and cons of open world gaming. Pros meaning benefits, cons meaning detriments. So here's why I proposed this topic and didn't allow any votes on it whatsoever and just demanded that this be the topic.
And also that we didn't all agree on it.
We didn't.
Thinking it was a good idea.
We didn't?
We definitely didn't think that.
No, we don't. No. Nobody, this is not.
This is podcasting by royal decree of Ian,
yeah.
Not a democracy.
We agreed on it, the royal we.
And then we weed on it.
And we weed on it.
The royal we.
And then it got pregnant, because that's how it works. Right, James?
You got to wee inside a lady if you want to get her pregnant. Danny?
That's true. Story checks out.
Yeah. So far from what Danny knows, story's checking out. So I thought of this topic. And this will probably be an ongoing topic, actually, at Danny's suggestion, which is, I was like, hey, Danny had a good idea, but if, like, the pros and cons...
Did you mark the fucking date and time when I suggested
it? I actually think it's in my phone, it's in my
phone.
Let's
set that up as an annual reminder that at one point in time, I did a good thing.
Danny did a good.
Did a great job, Danny.
Yeah, otherwise you're Danny Don't. Once. Don't do what Danny Don't does.
Real fucking proud of you, yeah. Jesus Christ.
One kazoo. You normally get the foghorn, but yeah, it was a good idea. Like, hey, what if we were to take X style of game, pros and cons thereof, and in this case, it's open world. And I suggested that because there's been a shit ton of them lately, and I started to lament to myself. I said, "Self, you have purchased for thyself many a game."
Why do you talk like that to yourself?
You talk like you're from Chaucer?
Yes, yeah. This is the Canterbury Tales of me. My favorite is The Wife of Bath's Tale. James will get that reference.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
There's a lot of sex in that one, I think.
All right.
It's also a very...
sex!
It's also a very powerful feminine figure for early on in literature.
That's weird.
Yeah, right?
Dumb, who cares?
Not in the real world.
Shut up, Faye.
Anyways... she'll be our ever present, even if not present, feminist representative of the podcast.
But that tried to get us to make fun of women. That's several true. Times throughout the podcast.
Yeah. And we wouldn't do it. Wow. She's conniving, that one. Anyways.
Women. Yeah. Women.
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 Am I right, boys? Am I right? Yeah.
Cheers
right?
to that.
Am I right? Okay.
Clink, clink.
I'm not
clink.
Actually. That came out like as a bro thing, but I was actually questioning if I was right or not. But.
Never assume that you are.
So, anyways, this thing that I've taken like 10 minutes to introduce, I've procured for myself a lot of open world games. A lot of open world style games have come out recently. I think I was talking to you. Because, like, you were picking up Fallout 4,
you as Danny,
Star Wars.
For those of you who
can't
see who
yeah, I'm pointing at Danny.
Listeners at home.
For the Danny right now. Thanks. We're going to have James.
Thanks, James.
Do the meta conversation for this. So I was talking to Danny, and I think you asked me at one point, like, are you going to get Fallout 4? And I was like, well, yeah, eventually. And he kind of gave me a funny look, and I was like, well, so here's the thing. So I got Metal Gear Solid 5. My pre-order for Xenoblade Chronicles X will be showing up shortly thereafter Fallout, and I'm a huge fan of the Xeno series, so that one's kind of ranking up there. And then for Black Friday, I purchased The Witcher 3, Bloodborne, and Dark Souls 2 for the PS4, like their remake for it. All of which, and this might be part of the discussion, all of which are enormous games. Like, huge, huge, huge games. And I was really happy because I got them, like, super-duper cheap. Danny's a little flaccid right now, everyone, by the way. He's a little,
I mean, I'm usually just...
A little pop filter.
I'm usually just
here,
way at attention
that.
Here.
You tighten that. You just
look, I'd rather just fucking fiddle with it throughout the entire podcast.
Screw in the doodle and...
and then poodle your noodle.
And then poodle that's usually what I do. There we go.
And then
it's
poodle
fine.
Your noodle. Rent a
Don't
poodle.
Look at it. Don't look
all,
at it.
It's all sad and falling down again. Anyway, carry on, Ian, with
Anyways,
your dumb thing.
On from here.
My wayward son.
So, but I still also want to play Fallout 4. In Star Wars Battlefront, and I don't even own GTA 5 yet.
I also do not own that.
Yeah, and I love GTA 4. Love GTA 4. And so I got it started to dawn on me, like, man, I can acquire all these games, but from the time that I have to play them, I mean, I've got a full-time job. I'm married. I have dogs that maintain a lot of my time. I know, right? So it's like my time to play video games is nowhere near what it was when I was not any of those things. I would say like just even having a job would be like the biggest thing from it. But that's, I mean, that could be another subject for another day. How and when do you game at home? How do you game, bro? So I was kind of like, God.
Infrequently.
But it really got me thinking. It was like, hey, this is a really big trend. We kind of, gaming and popularity of games tends to go in trends. Like there's a while where there's first-person shooters and then like survival horror. And even historically, and kind of even coming back around, like platformers, puzzle games, action RPGs versus like, or strategy RPGs might come into play. Like it kind of goes in waves. It's not like, oh, this is it. We'll never see that one again. It's like, no, it's just not as popular for now. It becomes a niche title. And then later on it comes back. So open world seems to be really big right now. And what's its ups and downs? Like why is it popular? What's so great about it? What's so bad about it? And what are we thinking? Actually, one of the first things I was thinking is like, maybe we should ask is like, how do we define an open world game?
Yep.
Because some of the games I mentioned, i.e. like The Witcher 3, I think a lot of people might look at that and say like, well, that's just a really, this is a long game. That's an RPG, but it's a really long game. So then what, like out of the box has like 200 plus hours of content expected, like story something content like that, somewhere yeah. in there, which is a plus lot two. Of hours of content. But you know, does it really have a sandbox environment? Maybe not. Who knows? What entails an open world game?
So I think you touched on the first thing, which is sandbox, right?
A sandbox environment.
You have a large in quotes, environment that you can roam around somewhat freely, and then stumble across interactions that happen, but you're not bound by a route that you have to take through it or locations that you have to go to. It's not a linear path. You can go anywhere at any time.
Right. Now, yeah. A lot of these games do have a storyline associated with them where... What? You need another
one? Yeah, I need a beer.
Ian, beer it.
Sorry. I'm not trying to interrupt you here, but I'm not drinking.
But I just don't want to hear you talk.
Yeah, do you want a Sammy Fireside Chat?
Let's keep going. We're going to keep going with the Fireside Chat. Fireside. Do that. Thank you.
No problem.
Ditto.
Also for you?
It's good, isn't it?
Garcia's.
It is really good. I'm
going to
need another one here.
I also love FDR.
Yeah, everything I've had from these guys is really fucking good.
Yeah.
So yeah, these games do usually have some sort of linear component or like a story aspect to them.
There's like a story arc.
Yeah, but you're not necessarily even required to do that to get enjoyment out of the game.
Yeah.
Like if you look at something like Skyrim, for example, it's a very open game.
Yeah.
You go in, you make your character, and the guy's like, meet me at the village. You could be like, fuck you, I'm going to go and just murder everyone.
I want to go kill wolves and bears and dragons.
Yeah, I'm going to go and pick all the locks and murder all the people and never even touch the story.
Fuck Especially you. Children?
Especially children.
Okay, very good, very good.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of a type of open world game that's 100% open world. I feel like not all of them are... nothing's coming to mind right now.
Well, I think there's always going to be some linearity to it.
Well, you have the sandbox, and then you have the story arcs that are on top of that. So you have these waypoints that work within the sandbox, the physical space, right?
And they kind of help make sense of why you're there and why the world is the way it is.
Give you purpose.
Yes. Not just, hey, you're a guy with a gun. You're in the middle of a city. Go.
Shoot some shit.
Yeah.
Which is basically what Grand Theft Auto turns into, but...
That brings up almost another question, like what separates that from like an MMO RPG or like a non-linear RPG? Like if you want to think about it, like the Legend of Zelda, the very first one, is considered a non-linear role-playing game because you could kind of do anything in any order. Like there wasn't like this is the first dungeon. Like later Zelda games, like Skyward Sword, you had to do things. You have to go to this dungeon first, and then you can go to this one, and then you can go to this one. Things
right, like the items that you get unlock later levels.
Right.
Even in like Ocarina of Time, that felt very much like an open world game, but the storyline you had to go and do things in a certain order to progress through the story arc.
Right.
Yeah. Really, I would say the like this is tangential. but we do that.
What?
I know. Just but yeah, really, I would say really out of the Zelda series, the really only open, like truly non-linear one was probably the first Legend of Zelda. I love Link to the Past and Link's Awakening, but they were very non-linear, but there was like, you can do these things non-linearly to then go and do this set of things in a non-linear fashion. But anywho, what makes that different from an open world, just to help solidify the definition, which makes like a non-linear RPG and an MMORPG different from an open world game?
Well, if I think about open something
single player,
if you think about something like a Legend of Zelda game,
yeah,
even though it is somewhat of an open world, or maybe I don't know if I'd actually even consider Zelda an open world so much as I would consider it non-linear. Like,
right, right.
Like, I feel like you can't really make much progress in most Zelda games without going to the temple that you're supposed to be going to and getting the treasure that you're supposed to.
Hitting the marks in the storyline.
Yeah.
Right. There are little side quests in, that you can do, but not enough that I would consider it like an open world game. But if you look at something like Just Cause or Grand Theft Auto.
Saints Row.
Or, yeah, any of those. Yeah. Those I consider open world because there's usually like a list of non-story attached objectives that you can go and achieve, like go and blow up these many factories, or like in Grand Theft Auto, you could just wander around, steal like a fire truck, and now you're like being called to put out fires. Mm-hmm. Like you've just stumbled into this whole other set of missions and things that you can do.
Oh, he's wearing the helmet and he's got the truck, so
it must be fun.
Yeah. If it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it must be a duck.
Or a witch.
Also, that duck's a fireman. Or it could be a witch, too. Very true.
More witches! kind of lost my train of thought there. But anyway, I feel like open world games are things where you can just go do things in the world. Like, you gain experience or you gain resources for doing them. And then that... having trouble completing that thought a little bit, but
it's a little weird. That's what I was like, we should probably like lay out exactly where this is, and this that might even flow into the pros and the cons of it.
I feel like open world games for me, you can time travel in them really easily. Like when Grand Theft Auto 3 came out, I went to my friend's house and I got there like 2 PM and I was like, oh cool, let's check it out, let's play it. Didn't do any of the missions. Looked outside, it was 8 o'clock at night.
Just that, ran around.
What
stole
the fuck
a car.
Just happened?
At first I thought you meant like all open world games have a time travel function, but it was like, oh no, you actually mean
no,
like,
I physically I emotionally time traveled.
Yeah, because
and didn't do anything in the storyline.
You
at
get
all.
So absorbed. My friend and I, we would play Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, I think. Uh-huh. We played both of us on the same console. Maybe it wasn't San Andreas. Doesn't matter. We play one of the Grand Theft Auto games where it was two of us, and we just run around and shoot up the city, and we would spend like an hour just getting up to 5 stars and then seeing how long that we could stay alive.
Yeah.
Just like create like a barricade of cars, and then like, you know, have RPGs
go back
and,
under
like,
the overpass.
Yeah. With like shoot launcher. Down all the helicopters yeah. coming after you and stuff. And
I think that's what helped bring them to popularity. It wasn't
it's the replayability,
yeah, or just the
fuck off ability,
yeah, that's it. Because like replayability, I almost associate with like this game had such a good story and a bunch of different ways to go. I want to go back. It's like I love watching this movie. We talk a lot about Star Wars. We watched the original trilogy, God knows how many times. But like an open world game, like anytime something. Some sort of new capability comes out in the gaming world, like that's what's pushed. It's like, it's complete sandbox world. You can do whatever the fuck you want. And we're like, wow, that's the power of technology. But in reality, it's just like you have this, I can just go and fucking drive a fire truck or a plane. And it hits you. Like there's a moment you start the first time you play like an overworld. I remember like I played GTA 3, but then I remember even sitting down and playing GTA 4. And it still hit me again. I was like, I don't have to answer this phone call.
Nope. Ignore.
I could just go right the hell over there.
Just going to go shoot those people or pick up that prostitute.
Yeah. I'm going to do all of that. And then I'm going to go get something to eat. Because
go work out.
Yeah. Because I totally can. And in a shop for pants that all look the same.
And then you can get a haircut where you're bald, but you get a haircut and now you have an afro.
Yeah. That's how it works. Yep. It's like in the cartoon world.
It's the best, man.
Simple physics, Danny.
Yep.
Where the hell were we?
I feel like with open world games, you kind of make your own fun. Like if you're going to not follow the storyline, or maybe you finish the storyline, you're not done with the game. Like in a Zelda game, the furthest you can get and then just continuously play in a save file is usually the moment before you go fight the big bad. Like, it take Ocarina of Time. The last like save point, if you beat the game, the last save point you can open that file up at is you're at the bottom of the stairs about to go up to fight Ganon.
Yeah.
And then you, like, you can leave from there and go run around in the world and do shit, but you're really like, there's a very limited amount of things.
Yeah. Is that.
Yeah.
But in, you know, Fallout or Grand Theft Auto, like, okay, let's take Fallout 4 for a second. You have, like, your home base where you can, like, have villagers come and they kind of set up shop and they sleep in this town that you create for them. And you can do random things. Like, I've seen people online where they're like, I established a dress code in my village today. And they just, like, they've taken, they found dresses on corpses and then use the inventory trade function to make all of their people wear dresses.
It's so fucking weird.
Like, it's just random shit like that where they're like, yeah, I built walls all around my town, made everyone wear a dress. No big deal.
I feel like you're going to learn a lot about a person by
by what they
what they choose to do in Fallout 4. Well, yeah, it's funny. Like, even it's funny what we sometimes will call an open world game, like a sandbox. Because I've been playing a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5, and at the for the most part, yeah, there's it's almost like that's still a main storyline like that, but. That's part of Kojima's MO, but there's still a main storyline. But there's like maybe some side missions that you can take, but they're just huge. Yeah, there's so many side missions, but they're just huge. And then the missions themselves are just like they're so expansive in what you can do. But versus Fallout 4, where it just seems kind of like there's the thing over there.
There's a quest over there, but anywhere along the way you can
deviate.
Stop and find something interesting. Like I was playing the other day and I found a random new companion because I walked into a bar out in the wasteland that is owned by the raiders, the guys that wear like all the crazy clothes and they just come screaming at you. I just opened a door and it was a bar where they had like a fight cage where the raiders would go and fight this girl who was just like beating the shit out of this dude. So you walk in and they're like, that guy's not fucking supposed to be here. And then they rush you and you have to kill this bar full of raiders. There's like 20 of them. And so I just shot up the place because I was like, oh, fuck. So I shoot them all up. Or actually, I baseball bat them to death because that's what I'm doing in this playthrough.
Just
bludgeoning people to death with my baseball bat. And then the lady who was in the fight cage was like, you just killed all of our clientele. And her manager comes out and he's like, well, I'm going to he's like, here, I'll sell her debt to you and you can deal with her because I have no way to like make money off of her anymore. So then it's just like, you got a new companion just randomly. Cause I walked into this random and fucking bar and killed
the shit
everyone.
Out of everybody with a baseball bat.
Yeah. It was pretty great.
Got a chick. Boom.
Had like a super
angry, bing, bang,
like
boom.
Super aggro chick with like brass knuckles.
Man,
leave with me.
That is a
brass knockers. Was that what you said?
Yeah, that's what I said.
All right.
Careful. That'll hurt.
Yeah. Chip your tooth.
Yeah. Do not boater boat. Just write that on.
Oh, God.
Just write that on there.
Tattoo it across.
Yeah. Do
Well, they're brass, so maybe you're like etching it.
If you got, like metal teeth, like that Jaws guy from the Bond movies,
like metal on metal,
yeah, you might be okay.
You think so? Because like,
seems pretty terrible.
Because like teeth on boobs, like standard, that's like bone on flesh. So I don't think like metal on metal is necessarily the right thing.
I mean, have you tried it?
Don't knock it till you knock it.
Have then I tried please. Putting steel teeth in my head and biting boobs made of metal? Is your question?
Yes, that is my very serious.
I just want to make sure
that's my very serious question, Dan.
They're not bronze, they're brass.
They're brass.
Then no, I have not done that.
Okay, well then please do not knock it over.
The knockers. Jesus Christ. Don't knock the knockers.
Small-minded. Yeah. No knocking knockers. I don't care if it's in the name.
Or boots, don't do it for that matter.
All right then. Yeah. I will take that all under advisement. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you. And we are adjourned. Gavel, gavel, gavel.
Gavel noise, gavel noise.
Gavel noise. Thank you, James. Gavel noise.
Colon, gavel noise, colon.
Not in your colon, gross.
Well, where else do you keep it?
It's going to wreck you.
Up your butt. Up your rectum.
Yeah, rectum.
Rectum. Damn near killed him.
Damn near. God damn it. Shut the fuck up. Man. I hate you.
All right, so we've got... It seems like the main idea of an open world game is I would say probably single player for the most part. You can have a multiplayer,
perhaps with a multiplayer element. Mode.
There's a multiplayer mode or element that is sandbox, in which anything is accessible.
Usually, that's just chaos.
Yeah,
which is the appeal, honestly.
I think so.
Right. A non-linear RPG still has a story to tell. Like you are still to go to point B. Eventually.
Like you don't get to the next area until you've unlocked that portion of it.
Yeah. So ultimately, like you could sit and play an open world game and never reach any sort of conclusion if it has one,
and still have a great time.
Right. So what is its ultimate purpose then? Like what's the drive of an open world game? What's it trying to?
I think it depends on the game.
Yeah. I think it's about the freedom of being able to explore and the encouragement to explore this environment that's set up for you and come across interactions and that you wouldn't get through linear gameplay. You run off through the woods perpendicular to the route that is taking you to the next story point, and you can have a totally different experience going that way.
Mm. Yep.
That's the appeal.
Yeah. It almost seems like in many ways for now that the technology is available to do it, I don't want to say a slap in the face, but just a kind of a gentle reminder to like a gamer who sits down and goes to play them, that where they're like, well, now I gotta go and do this, and it's like, no, you don't have to do any of that.
Fuck around.
Yeah, you don't have to do any of that, and that's why it became a genre all of its own. Genre.
Fill your house with whatever, pumpkins.
Yeah. So the purpose of an MMO.
45 minutes later.
45 minutes.
That's not MMO, open world game.
What the hell are we doing? Yeah, open world game.
Like, what are we even doing here?
I don't even remember the timeline. Why are you guys in my house?
What's an MMO? Is that one where you fight someone? No. In an octagon?
No. Oh, God.
Mixed martial octopi.
Mixed martial octagon. That's what it stands for.
Yeah.
You don't wear no shoes and you just beat each other's up.
In an octagonal fashion.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means exactly. There are 8 ways to beat someone up?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like Wu-Tang, except instead of 36, it's just 8.
This is 8.
It's a lot faster.
So, also, another random meta idea. What if we talked about a random crappy kung fu movie that I've watched recently as like a 2-minute segment somewhere in the show?
What we may have been talking about when you were getting your charger.
Yeah.
Your chargeur.
Oh, but we were recording then.
Exactly.
No.
So yeah. Let's.
Danny, we're
gonna pause. This, like pausing for station identification.
And then, no. Listeners, you're listening to the Bivouac Podcast.
No. I was thinking more for like the YouTube stuff and not the.
That's like a good segment.
Like Danny talks about kung fu movies.
That'd be good.
And then like have like cheesy kung fu like punch noises as the intro. Danny talks about kung fu.
Can you do kung fu moves?
No.
I think you
have to. I could try.
I think you have to.
And I think I should attempt some for some sort of video capture.
And
like I should punch Ian. That's what you're saying.
No, get him a beer.
Yes, you should punch him.
Get him a beer and then punch him. That.
Oh, okay. What do you want?
I'm going to move to this. No. Give me an anchor. I'll take an anchor.
All right. Here's a ship's anchor, Ian. Also, here's a beer.
I believe... James,
the children are our future. No, I was pointing at the opener.
Are you about ready?
I'm good. I'm good right now. I don't need one. Give him the opener.
The opener.
The opener.
Opener.
Oh,
I'm not usually. Opener. I'm not usually in the get me a beer position, so I'm.
Yeah, we mixed it up tonight. Our positions are different. Like, I'm sitting in a comfy chair.
I'm sitting in like a recliny chair.
I think to keep it meta, I think that might be one of our next like acquisitions are comfy recording chairs,
like recliners, like Lazy Boys.
Oh shit! We wouldn't do anything. Then we would fall asleep. We just,
hey guys, hey. I'm like four beers in, and I have a good idea. 2 hours of us snoring drunkenly. This is our best. God damn, we got like 500 people in the first couple of hours.
Holy crap.
Wake up so cold.
Yeah. Oh, God. Where am I?
Actually, I was thinking of
where are my pants?
I looked up like a small silent space heater. It's like, ooh, I should get that. That might be my next.
I have a small space heater. It's not silent though.
Please, yeah, I was gonna say.
Is it your anus?
The planet.
The number of times that you have said that phrase is concerning to me.
Yes.
When a man reaches a certain age, Danny, you don't have full control anymore, right? You just gotta let it go. Either you push and you risk it, and it might be funny, or you just hold it in and you feel bad. So I just brisk it. That's my philosophy.
You brisk it. You shit on a brisket.
A bris.
It's called shit on a shingle.
You get
at a bris.
You get your foreskin cut off, and then you eat a brisket.
By a mullah. I think that's the word.
I thought it was a moil.
A moil? I don't know. I'm probably pronouncing it.
Mullah is like money.
Yeah, so you get a stack of money to cut a part of your dick off. The moil wields the mullah.
Is it just like a notch out of the side?
No, he has like 1,000 paper cuts with dollar bills until your foreskin comes off.
If you make a notch and then you get like another stick, you can make like a musical instrument. Just like,
Did you know traditionally the moil removes the foreskin with their mouth?
And that's why everybody has herpes.
Yeah.
Oh. Is that why?
That's pretty fucked up, isn't it?
Suck the blood out.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty gross.
Yeah, it's pretty gross. Pretty fucked up, huh? Kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just continuing the tradition of religious people putting their mouths on little boys' dicks.
Nothing wrong with that. Right, guys?
No.
Let
me ask Jesus.
Are you texting
I'm
him?
I'm texting Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
He says, Jace.
Hold on, I must mop this.
Jesus is Spanish.
Jesus is a swarthy Spanish man in my head.
He's Castilian.
Oh yeah, yeah. They fight for the independence right now.
Oh, I'm really sorry about that.
Oh God damn it, I'm James! Sorry. I really thought that I would be the one gassing you guys horribly. It's always
you didn't
James.
Have the burrito. James is the king. James is the.
This is gonna be bad.
Bow down before my flatus.
All right.
This is a good show.
This is a good show.
Two-star review from Ian. This is a good show. Did you review
not fantastic. It's just good.
If you're looking for some filler podcast, this is a show for you.
If you're really bored.
Yeah. Have you been listening to too many great podcasts? You just need something like while you're mowing your lawn,
that you don't know, washing
doing
the dishes,
your taxes.
You don't really want to pay attention to.
Yeah, or at the police department picking someone out of a lineup. You just need some background noise.
So anyway, I tried to jam this pencil down my pee hole the other day.
Yeah, your pee hole,
my pee hole. The proper term is dick hole.
Oh, my dick peeing hole.
Old dick peeing hole. That's old dick peeing hole. Open world games. This is a podcast about video games.
Much like RPG.
We've been recording for about 45 minutes or so now, and I think we're just now going to start talking about what we wanted to talk
about. No, we got it. We have it defined.
It's in the bag. In the bag.
We have it defined, and now we can move. We can talk about like what the pros and cons. What's good about this genre?
What's bad? Because I love them.
You love? I'm gonna say what's bad. It's all right. I'll start. It can be overwhelming.
I could see that.
Yeah. So, like, sometimes I'll go into them and I'll start where it's like, hey, go do this or whatever the fuck, I don't care. It's like, all right, why the hell am I here? Like, why the actual hell am I here? That could be personal hang-up. Like, I want, like, no, I need you to, I purchased this. I expect you to, like, tell me a story, show me some pretty pictures, something. So I want something coming from this. I know there's maybe 1,000 tiny stories or 100,000 tiny stories, but now I've got to go find them and maybe weave my own story. But that can be huge. That can be overwhelming. It's like, what if I just want to, like, I want to come home and I want to relax and I want to be, like, I want to maybe just follow the lines.
Zone out, get on the rails. I think that's the point where you have more than one video game and then you play not an open world game if that's the experience you're looking for.
Sometimes I just want to get on my horse and just ride. And then other times I want to play an open world game.
Yeah. He's a cowboy. He has a steel horse. A steel horse he rides.
He's got a loaded six string on his back.
Yep. One of them too.
He's wanted.
Do you guys ever see the movie Six String Samurai?
No, but it sounds like something I want to watch.
It's fucking awesome.
And then review.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome. By awesome, I don't mean like this is a movie for the ages, like Apocalypse Now or The Godfather or something like that.
Or Star Wars like, Episode 7.
Yeah, or Star Wars Episode 7.
That's Star Wars The Force Awakens, James.
You didn't push up your glasses. There we go. Thank you. No. Six String Samurai.
Somehow Danny just regained his virginity. It wasn't lost.
It grew back instantly.
I saw so it. Happened. It was kind of weird. It just went away.
Yeah.
And then your non-virginity went away and your virginity came in, like grew out there. You might want to have to look that, by the way.
Your virginity came inside you.
You're clean in the eyes of the Lord again.
I don't think that'll ever be true. Or ever was.
Oh, Jesus! But yeah,
Jesus. Extreme,
yeah.
Jesus. There's Castilian Jesus again.
Jace. Jace.
Jace.
Swarthy
Castilian. Yeah, Six String Samurai. Go watch that shit. It's a great movie.
Rad.
Yeah.
Is it on Netflix?
You know, I don't know, because I rented it from Blockbuster on DVD many years ago.
Oh, man.
And watched it pretty high and drunk with some friends.
Sounds like a great movie.
It was great.
I'll have to see if I can answer
that. It's like post-apocalyptic, and this guy's a samurai, but has a guitar instead of a sword.
Look, this is banging on all cylinders for me here.
This is your jam.
Yep.
Six String Samurai.
All right, I'm in it. You know what? I'm going to take a note, because I won't remember at the end of the podcast.
But while you're doing that, I'm going to continue to comment. I feel like an open-world game can be overwhelming. Like, there might be... It's like, you can do everything. Does that everything... Like, the con can be... And this might be a con for anyone who's actually making an open-world game or a gotcha they'd have to watch out for. It's like, you can do anything in our game. And I might look at it as like, okay, but to what end? To what purpose? Because I can do anything in real life. So are you just making like a real life simulator where I don't have to go to jail if I do the wrong things? Like I just want to
for
like,
some of them,
yeah.
Take Grand Theft Auto for example. Yeah,
true. But yeah, there's just sometimes where it's like you can do anything. It's like I don't. All right. Or what if like if I'm new to the genre or I'm, and like I said, this can be up to the individual person. Like, what are you sitting down and playing? It's like, I just want to shoot some spaceships. So it's like, well, you should probably play a shoot 'em up and not an open world game right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not the right choice for you if that's not what you're looking to do.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go build a fucking log cabin. Okay, Minecraft's your game. There you go. Go punch a tree.
Until what about Log Cabin Simulator? Is that a game yet?
Yeah, you play as Abe Lincoln.
You play as a log cabin.
Is that the one where
you kill it? You retain warmth.
If you play as Abe Lincoln, is that the one where you kill vampires?
No. That was a pretty entertaining movie, though.
Hey.
Heard the book was pretty good, too.
I mean, it's based on history, right?
Obviously.
That really happened.
Yeah. If it's about Lincoln, it's true. Anything about Lincoln.
Vampire Hunter.
Abraham Lincoln.
Vampire Read your Hunter. History books.
You stupids.
All right, so let's talk about fucking open world games.
We aren't? Yeah, I thought we were. What else is
there?
So
usually the hole in the middle is where I'd go for.
Oh, all right. Put a little hair around it.
Here's the open world. open world.
So, yeah, I think the overwhelming nature, or the potential for overwhelmingness to the open world games.
Overwhelmity.
Very good.
Or overwhelmulation.
Orville,
either one.
Orville Redenbacher.
Orville Redenbacher.
They are a little buttery sometimes.
I actually drove by a cornfield in Ohio one time that had signs up. It was like, this field is property of Orville Redenbacher.
And you were like, he dead.
I was like, oh, he dead.
Oh, shit, he
the
dead.
The colonel. I already say you, he dead.
Is the colonel in?
Fool, I already say you, he dead. The South.
I feel with open world games, even if you are intent on moving forward with the main story, one of the things that, so let's take Skyrim, for example, or Fallout, one of the things that I always run into is like, okay, I really want to progress to the next point in the in the main storyline, not just all these side quests, but the game is designed in such a way where as you are moving along whatever path, you are going to encounter side quests. Like, they're going to get in your way. And so I think that that becomes the issue of time, as James kind of alluded to with, like, the time travel comment earlier. You might be trying to... Let's say you have 45 minutes to play. You go to sit down. Okay, I could probably get a mission done here. You go to do that mission, but along the way, you get stuck in a firefight. You go into the wrong bar, and now you're killing a bunch of people for like 20 minutes, and then you never actually get to even start on the objective that you were trying to work through when you sat down to play the game in the first place.
And that can be frustrating.
Yeah, it can be. If you like, you're like, well, I'm out of time. I didn't actually. I mean, I made some progress of some kind.
Yeah.
But not the progress that I was looking to make.
Yeah.
Whereas if you play, you know, Mario Kart, you have time to play a Grand Prix. So you get through the Grand Prix, and you have completed the thing that you sat down to do.
I've actually looked at things like, oh, I've got like 15, 20 minutes. I can easily get through a GP in Mario Kart. Right. And I won't fire up Metal Gear Solid 5 or Xenoblade Chronicles X if I have 20 minutes.
Complete a mission like, in that time.
No, I'm going to get the game booted and get to where I'm supposed to be and kind of figure out where, like, where I need to be going. And then, all right, time to shut it back down.
Yep.
Con can be, it's like, it's probably not a passing activity. Like, it's not a...
You have to have a dedicated amount of time.
Right.
Significant amount of time.
Which I guess could be said about any game, but this one, like, an open world game is, like, the time required for just even a quick, like, oh, I'm just going to play this for a little bit, is, I would say, probably at least an hour. Somewhere. And it might be a generalized figure, but kind of across the board, like, I've got, I'd be able to sit down and play for an hour. Because I've definitely played, like, GTAs and other shit for half an hour, and it's like, yeah, all right, I think I'm going to save now, and I'm a quarter of the way through a mission, and probably write down what I was doing, and all that other crap. Kind of figure it out. But what's good? Like, what do we like about them?
I think the nature of the game in which really you can do literally anything you want within the confines of the mechanics of the game is the main appeal of the game, right? That's why so many people can pick up any of these games and play them, because James might want to go and do nothing but heists in Grand Theft Auto, and Ian, you might be more interested in just going and stealing the coolest car and then participating in races with the car, and I might want to just see how many buildings I can parachute off of in a game. But all of us could buy the same game and still have fun the way that we want to have fun.
I kind of think of it as like you. It's really the only genre which allows you to truly be the master of your own destiny. And possibly even more, like, it might more be appropriately titled as a role-playing game than an actual role-playing game.
Right.
Yeah. Because you are the one who's able to determine the role. Effectively, you can do anything at any time and in any way that you want, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And you can carry your character in any fashion. Like, your character can be, you know, good, evil, or neutral, however you want to handle them and do whatever they want to do. Like, you get to place so much into that. Whereas, like, a role-playing game, and this is coming from somebody who loves playing an RPG, a role-playing game is like there is a set role of that character that you're going to assume. Yeah. You might, like, you can often choose replies that they might give. Like, I've been playing Xenoblade Chronicles X, and there's sometimes where it's like, not affirmatively, or shrug it off. Yeah, and it's like, well, those, yeah, it's like, okay, I can kind of see the game is going to take a fork in how I relate to these other characters, but it's still a little bit more restrictive to that character. Granted, the rest of the game is fairly open, and I can do a lot of shit, but it's still like, I'm kind of bound at these, you know, story sections to, like, maybe what I can say, what I can do. This character, no matter what, this character is a brave character. This character is a fearful character. This character is like, loves to binge on cocaine. I don't know. It's just what it. Can you imagine a JRPG where, like, the main character is just a coke addict? Holy shit! I would play the crap out of that game. yeah, master of your own destiny. In that respect, I also like the idea that they're immersive. Like, it's, there are some examples of games.
Is that what you mean by immersive?
Yeah. Like, it's, you feel like you're a part of that world. And that might be part of being master of your own destiny to that. But you almost can kind of, like, you can see yourself in that person, in the character that you're playing in the game. Not to say that other game types can't do this, but they, if they're good, they do it in a different way, where you, much like previous comment, you assume the personality of that person in another genre. I'm actually even thinking, like, in my head, like, Metroid is playing out. Mm. And there's a ton of platformers out there. There's a ton of great platformers with great mechanics and how they operate. But some of the truly great ones, and I think of Metroid when I'm talking about this, is because by the combination of everything about that game, music, its layout, its setting, you find you very easy to place yourself in the shoes of Samus Aran. But that's a rare example for a lot of those. And even in that case, you felt like you were part of that world for that person at that period of time. And an open world game like makes you, as that individual, feel like you're a part of the world and you belong in it. Silence your shit.
It is silence. It is silence. It's still making fucking noise.
Did it wrong.
It's great. Carry on.
You're doing it terribly.
Carry on, my wayward son.
But James, you love him. What, like?
I loves him.
He loves him.
I think we touched on a lot of the reasons why I like open world games. The freedom to deviate from the linear storyline.
James is a noted deviant.
The exploratory nature, like, I get off on just, like,
everything,
roaming around the countryside and looking up and seeing a mountain and, like, what's at the top of that mountain? Let me go check it out.
Go play.
How do I get there? And then you have these opportunities for discovery.
Side note, in real life, when we actually have, like, activities, James is a flight risk. Like, we actually worry of, like, if we're drinking too much, we're like, we should probably keep an eye on James because he might actually say, like, what's at the top of that mountain?
What's at the top of that radio antenna? I don't know. Let's go check it out.
I don't know. Let's go. But then we just get a random picture message from
James. Where the hell are you?
Here's a picture.
Here's a picture of where I am.
But you know what? I always make it back.
This is true.
Somehow.
Every single time.
I don't know how you do it, but you do.
I don't either.
It's uncanny.
Just some part of my brain just knows what to do. But anyways, like, it opens these opportunities for experiences that you wouldn't have if you were just hitting those points in the storyline. Mm. You go off tangential to the main quest and you meet this other villager, or you go up to the top of a mountain and you see this weird shit up there, or whatever, there's graffiti. And I think that's really cool that somebody who's building this game took the time to, yes, we know the storyline, we know the arc, but we know every part of the game, we know every part of this world. Let's put something here. You call it an Easter egg or whatever you want,
yeah,
but
yeah,
there's,
yeah,
something up here cool that only people who are exploratory by nature will come and check out. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that kind of ties in to like some of the coolest things about some of these games are, like, Fallout 4 has there's little bobbleheads that you can go find in the game, and those will improve your stats and they'll improve your skills.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find, there's in this latest one, there's a few different like collectibles you can look for. There's some lunch boxes that you can find, and overdue library books. And all of those are like this collectible series of things that you're trying to find to boost your stats or to complete sort of this big side quest. And I think that sort of like gives you another element in the game to just sort of keep an eye out for as you're going around. Gives you a reason to, oh, let's go off to this side room, or let's go into this random cave to look around, because I might find something in there that I would not ever have seen otherwise.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of interactions between AI characters too, where you're kind of off in the distance and you can see, happens all the time in Grand Theft Auto, happens in Fallout. You see the AI doing something that you're just like, what the fuck is happening? Like this, an animal is sneaking up on a dude in a field that's not paying attention. And you're the observer of this interaction. That's like the AI is doing it. It has nothing to do with the storyline. It has nothing to do with the environment. Other than these two other characters are interacting and just like watching stuff happen.
Yeah.
And there's always that bit in your mind, you're like, am I the only person who's seen this yet?
Yeah.
And then sometimes you're like,
is this real?
Yeah. And sometimes other people are like, oh yeah, definitely, like it's kind of like a play scene, mm-hmm. like the first time you encounter this area, like this always happens. Mm-hmm. And then there's other things where it'll show up on Reddit every so often. It's like, so I was playing GTA 5 and this happened, and they have a GIF of like some crazy interaction that mm-hmm. because they were in a field and like you said, just like somebody approaching an animal or something like that, or trying to talk to it, and then everybody else is like, nope, never saw that, never seen that coming. It's just this little bit in the code that was sitting there, mm-hmm. just a little bit yep. programmed in the game where they're just like
the Sasquatch.
This might happen every once in a while. Is that a thing?
The Squatch rumors. It's rumors.
Yeah.
Right.
That's funny.
I think Grand Theft Auto may or may not have a Sasquatch.
Right.
Only blurry pictures exist.
Yeah, only blurry and like really strangely framed per second. Mm-hmm. like
if you use the night vision goggles on a certain mission and it's in the woods, and then you're scanning around and you look and you see a heat signature, and you look again for the same heat signature that's taller than a normal human, and then it's gone. Like, okay.
Have you actually done this? Have you hit that?
I have not personally.
A believer?
Squatch?
Yeah.
You believe in the Squatch?
I believe in the Squatch.
Do you believe in Squatch in real life?
No.
Okay. Do you?
No.
Alright. Just me? No, I'm kidding. I don't.
No, you are one.
This is true.
Yeah, we don't need to believe because we
look at those fucking feet.
Scottish, not squash. Not Sasquatch. It's Scottish.
Like, it's the same fucking thing. There's a bunch of...
You got big ass feet and you're hairy as hell.
That might be a thing. Like, what if it actually is? Like, what if they've just been seeing Scottish people?
They just never met a Scottish guy before. He's like, oh, you fucking fuck.
Holy shit, who's that tall, hairy guy?
Why is he naked in the woods?
He was drunk. Or Scottish, as we call it.
So redundant, then.
Yeah.
What we're going with here.
What else we got? Do we have any bad? Do we have any good? Are we going to call it?
We did both.
Are we going to judge Judy this? Should we gavel sound this? That's it? We're done?
We're forum. Yeah, we're creating a forum.
Overall, I think...
I'm writing this down in a forum. Filling out this forum.
Oh.
Danny, you were saying something.
I don't know. Where are you from?
Probably dumb. Where are you from?
Gilroy. It's a shitty little nowhere town.
No, that's not true.
That's not true. It's right over there.
No. You're strong.
Don't start.
He's a pony.
You can both fuck yourself.
If you want background to Danny being a pony, email info@thebitpub.com.
Is that actually a thing?
It's a thing. Oh, I should make podcast@thebitpub.com.
Yeah, we should really do that.
That's podcast, the new thing.
Yeah. The podcast@thebitpub.com. By the time this goes out, it'll exist.
You are disgusting.
No, Scottish. We have established this.
Yeah.
It's all the same thing.
It's all the same. So that's it. There's the pros.
All right, good night.
Yeah, we're done. Everybody get the fuck out.
So as part of this ongoing series of how we feel about these genres, do we want to kind of like give an overarching, like, this is how we feel about this genre of games overall? I mean, I think it's pretty clear that we're all in favor of all genres of games.
All genres of games.
I think, yeah, even if it's not for me, I think that there's somebody out there who might like any given
genre. Right, or how about this? How about maybe everybody do like some final thoughts? Like, Jerry Springer, these are my final thoughts.
Like, we sit down get real.
And your op-ed.
Get real.
In 10 seconds or less.
Your op-ed on open world games. Diddy, do you want to start? James, I would say you're probably the biggest fan of this genre out of all of us. Do you want to start, like...
Here's my 10-second thing. I am the biggest fan here out of all of us of open world games.
So, what do you insist?
No, I like... We've talked... The main points... huge open world. Explore, find things, see shit that you wouldn't normally see by exploring. Be rewarded by your curiosity and explorative nature, and that's what I dig about open world games. All these interactions with characters and with just places and the world around you that somebody else put there on purpose, but is there for you to discover. That's separate from the main storyline. Yeah. That's why I like them.
Danny.
I mean, I think James said it pretty well, but the thing I like about open world games is it's sort of like it is a choose your own adventure to an extent, where, like, you know, Fallout 4, what I was seeing online of people playing was the sneaky sniper approach, and I decided that I wanted to be the run in there and bash everyone's skull in with a baseball bat.
The baseball bat.
It's super fun, and like, before that, in the Elder Scrolls games, the way that I would like to play, or the way that I was seeing most people play, was the sneaky archer. So I was like, okay, I'm going to not use any armor and any weapons, and I'm going to punch people to death. That's going to be my whole approach, and all I want to do is make myself as good at punching people to death as I can. And we talked about this several episodes ago, but sort of that whole setting challenges for yourself mentality, I think, really applies in these open world games. Where, you know, if you actually want to have a conversation with someone about video games, the way to make that conversation interesting for the person listening is like, oh, how are you making your playthrough interesting and different from everyone else's? And like, this guy might be like, oh, I decided to use nothing but throwing weapons. Yeah. I'm doing nothing but throwing knives. Oh, you're doing nothing but punching people to death? Let's talk about a ridiculous time when you punched a dragon to death. You know, that sort of thing.
And games that let you mold your character like that are really good about that. You can have a totally different experience. And that almost lends to the replayability. Like something that you were talking about earlier is like, can you replay an open world game? If you have a character that can be totally different and have totally different skill sets, then absolutely you can have a completely different experience.
I'm going to be a wizard this time. I'm going to be a knight this time. I'm going to be a guy that uses no weapons and punches things to death this other time. And you, like, those three people or those three playthroughs will be completely different experiences. Yeah. And that, I think, is a huge bonus of these open world type games.
Yeah. It's not like previous podcasts were to say, like, it's not like a Mad Lib where there's a few blanks here and there and you have to put in an adverb, adjective, noun, or something. It's just kind of like, it's pretty much a blank page. And I think, yeah, that would be, for my final thoughts on that, it would be, sometimes I struggle with them because I want some sort of, like, I go to sit down and I want to be told a story. I want to be, like interacting with it in many ways. And that can be its biggest downside to me is, sometimes I'll look at them and it's like there's so much potential for a great, great story. But then the pro to that would be like, and I'm the one who has to make it. Mm-hmm. I'm the one who gets to make it here. Mm-hmm. Especially for a well-designed game. Like, it gives you that ability and that end. It gives you all of the resources you would need to make that happen. But you do need the time and you do need the creativity, like you said, I'm just gonna go through the world and, you know, I'm just going to go melee, or I just want a baseball bat to bludgeon everything to death that I possibly can. It requires that sort of visceral creativity to make it your own and to make it interesting. So it's as much as it is expansive and almost endless in many ways, that almost forces you to be even more involved, which can be a good thing if you're like, I want to exercise my brain, or a bad thing if you're like, I want to absorb something for a little while. Sam's our thoughts.
I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. Gavel, gavel. There we go.
Gavel noise. James. Gavel noise.
James, you want to take us home?
Where are we going?
Where are we going? Well, I mean, I'm at my home, so I'm going to go over there and go to bed. But I don't know where you fuckers are going to go.
So, are we going to do the thing where we do the brown thing?
And
how do we do this every time?
We got to do
so every time. The titter. We Twitter.
Titter.
We do the tweets. We say our tweets.
Do we get the creeps and the sweeps?
Then we talk about the show tweet. And then you say the thing that makes this be the end. Not that thing.
No, oh, sorry. That came out of my end.
That's your end.
Way to clear your throat.
Okay. So, yeah. My thing is Twitter.
Oh my God. He's so good at this one. It's smooth like butter.
I'm really glad that we keep going to James for this part of the podcast because he never knows what the fuck.
We've got, if we have the opening.
It's like I don't know, but I do, but
no,
I just want to fuck with
it's
you
It's the
guys.
Fact that you don't know makes it great.
Yeah, I definitely. Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever, I love it.
We've right, got the opening in the middle structured down pat. And then we got the lead out, which is always awesome.
No, yeah. It's great.
Always awesome.
So we're on Twitter, right?
True.
Yes.
Okay.
All of us
are on Twitter.
So what? How do people find you on Twitter? Should they want to do that?
You hit the button that has the bird on it.
Yeah.
Okay. Tap that first.
The actual image of an avian, not like a middle finger.
I'm holding my middle finger up.
Yeah.
And then at the top right, there's a little thing that's like a spyglass, and you
also called a magnifying glass.
Spyglass
is like a
tomato potato. You click on that thing, and then you type in the
following along.
The at symbol.
At. No, well, is it at an
mark.
At?
It's the at mark, which was also a collaboration between Apple and Bandai for a game console at one point.
All right.
The at really? Mark.
Yeah.
Oh. Doodoo Monster.
Yeah.
At Doodoo Monster. That's where you can find James.
Yeah. And then over there, that's Ian.
That's me. The Scottish guy on here. The Scottish.
He has no
guy.
Clothes on right now.
But you wouldn't know because I'm super hairy.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like he's wearing
he's
a
showing
wool
me his
suit.
Swatch. I can see his whole swatch right
wool
now.
Wool suit.
I mean, it's not that impressive. There's not much
he's
of a
Scottish.
Squatch to see.
We get a squatch over that. Here. I got your squatch right here, princess. Sit on it.
Rick and Morty jokes.
My name is Ian, and you can find me at TheSpaceIan on the Twitter.
And I'm Danny. You can find me at Strongest Kung Fu
on that.
Twitter. It's great. And coming to a YouTube channel near you at some point in the future, I guess there'll be some shitty Kung Fu movie reviews.
Yeah.
By me.
Yeah, everybody tweet at all of those names. Also, tweet at the BitPub. To get on the YouTube train because we've been planning this and talking about this for a while, but we've done little to nothing about it, and we got to get off our asses and do that.
Yeah, if there's actually people out there listening and you...
Hi, Sabrina.
Yeah, Sabrina.
Oh,
Joseph listens. Joseph, Joseph!
He gave me a ride home the other day, and he was like, hey, I listen to your podcast. It's just like hanging out with you guys in real life. And I was like... Because he was asking about, hey, how's the podcast going? And I was like, well, we get drunk and we talk about dicks a lot. And he's like, so how's that any different
I'm
from
into
any
it.
Other time?
Yeah.
I was like, well, we record this.
Yeah.
So no, that's how it's different.
Yeah.
So
we got Sabrina and Joseph.
Yeah. Hey, Sabrina and Joseph. So anyway, Sabrina and Joseph, if you guys would like to hear us or see us do anything with our YouTube channel, then please fire those suggestions over to at the BitPub on Twitter. And we will take that shit under advisement.
No sex stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe some sex stuff.
Look, all sex stuff. Look, nothing but
only
sex
stuff. If we could only have sex stuff,
yeah,
that would be the best.
And as previously mentioned, you can email podcast@thebitpub.com.
Yeah, with your super cool guy questions.
Yeah, with your super cool guy questions. We'll read them on air.
No, we're not. We're not going to fucking do that.
Unless
you shut the fuck up.
Yeah, unless it's about sex things, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, can you send us your tentacle porn related sex questions?
Or your slime people related questions?
Yeah, that's weird. I never did go look that
up.
I meant
to look that.
You also never sent me any
horrible
nonsense.
I'm going to send it for you right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's wait. We'll wait.
Yeah, that's great. No, we'll
wait. Nobody do anything.
No one's doing Jay.
Just dead air.
Yeah, just if we reminders. Could just all shut the fuck up,
plus
Danny.
Send Danny. Oh, I corrected to Fanny. That's funny. Send Danny. It's
third grade all over again.
Slime people sex stuff.
Aren't they automatically having sex if they're slime people? Just like your goo's
like
everywhere.
With themselves?
Just with everything. They touch goo everywhere.
Yeah. If it's with other slime people, probably.
That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah. So if you're made of goo and you're going to ejaculate, assuming that you do ejaculate.
You're just automatically always ejaculating.
Yeah, that's my question. Yeah. Are you just in a constant orgasmic state or are you just so numb?
No, I think it's after the fact. It's just like the don't touch it because it hurts.
That's like their permanent state.
Yeah.
It's like don't even look at it.
That's why they're so
angry. It's so sensitive.
I don't know. Some of these pictures I've seen, they don't look very angry.
I mean, they probably look like a pile. You know what? I don't know what they look like.
I'll send you some pictures.
You're going to educate me.
I have a reminder, son.
I'm glad that you do. I'm
yeah,
super
isn't
glad
it great?
About that.
Yeah.
I hope that it comes right through now? In like a important meeting that I'm in.
Oh, I'll make certain.
No, that's great.
I'm not going to send it to where it works again.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll bring it back together. And this is? Is that how it goes?
This has been.
I'm a has-been. God damn it. And this has been a bit drunk.
And we has been and we are.
This I'm a has-been and we've also been a bit drunk.
That's right, Jim.
That's very true.
Cheers.
We're out.
Yay, cheers.
Hey, are your parents retarded? Because you're so fucking special.